You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
Challenge. Opportunities.
The next idea.
Education is not a mechanical system. It's a human system. It's about people.
Most offenders in Michigan's prisons will someday be released. Figuring out what to do next can be tough. They may lack skills, and employers could be wary of hiring people who have done time. At Ionia's Handlin Correction Facility, they're addressing this with a program called Trading Places. Inmates use their time inside to prepare for trade apprenticeships on the outside. With us now is the warden at Handlin Correctional Facility, Warden Duane Burton. Pleasure to welcome you to The Next Idea.
Thank you. Thank you.
So you've got really a couple of things happening at Handlin. There's the vocational village and then Trading Places. What takes that to the next level?
No, basically, Trading Places is a different program. We use the students at the vocational village to actually staff or supply Trading Places candidates.
So break it down for us. What do they do in vocational village?
Well, the vocational village is we have six different trades here. And the reason we call it the vocational village is all of these residents, they live in one housing unit together. That way they go eat together, they go to school together. Everybody in that same housing unit has the same goal.
And that goal being?
That goal is to either get education or get a vocational trade so that upon getting out they can get a job. A lot of them get jobs before they get out. But that's where the term vocational village came from. And within the vocational village, the trades that we have building trades, which teaches construction, all the construction stuff ours for building homes. We also have a cabinet making division within that. We actually supply all of the cabinets for the Habitat for Humanity houses around the state. We do that. I just got a number yesterday. We've done over 400 cabinets this year for Habitat houses.
Hmm.
We have a plumbing class. We have an electrical class. We have an automotive class. Thing that's really unique about this automotive class is while they're here, they actually take their State of Michigan exams and they get their mechanics licenses while they're here. In the State of Michigan, eight exams. If you can pass eight tests, that makes you a master mechanic. And we've had about a half a dozen people leave here as certified master mechanics by the State of Michigan.
And I am betting there are jobs for them.
Yes, yes. Actually, we just placed a gentleman within the last couple of days, had an interview here. We had a couple of different employers come in this week out of the automotive field to actually interview these gentlemen, and they get to go down and they get to see the technology. They get to watch them while they're working if they want. So, yeah, we just placed a couple of automotive guys here within the last week.
And then what's the final trade?
Well, we got two more. We have CNC, and then we have welding.
And what is CNC?
That is computer numeric control, using machines to pretty much any industry, far as automotive and furniture. They actually program the machines to make mass parts. It'd be the best way that I could describe it. You know, when you go in, like ball joints on cars, those have to be mass produced. Well, we train our people to actually be able to program the computers and actually be able to use the machinery to make the parts.
So that's the kind of training they're getting at Vocational Village. What happens in Trading Places?
Well, Trading Places, everything that I mentioned, with the exception of automotive and CNC, the rest of those four candidates, they can go into Trading Places. Trading Places is actually through Herco, which is a privately owned company out of Muskegon, owned by Phyllis Loudermill. And basically what Trading Places is all four of those last trades, everything except automotive and CNC, they can actually go into Trading Places, which they'll be working under the Laborers Union, Local 1191.
So they're getting involved with the union. They're building their resumes before they ever are paroled.
Actually, what's happening is Phyllis Loudermill, how this program works with Trading Places is Phyllis Loudermill is partnered up with Local 1191, the Laborers Union, and the Department of Labor, the United States Department of Labor. She actually is a certified employer with the Department of Labor. And so basically what she does is she comes in to our facility. We identify candidates for her to go into trading places, and then her staff work with our staff, and they get 12 weeks of labor-ready training. And this is certified through the Department of Labor. Upon them completing that, now keep in mind, they do this 3-4 hours, maybe 3 days a week. This is in conjunction to their actual vocational training. So literally they're getting up, what a day looks like for these guys is they're in their vocational trade at like 6:30 in the morning. They run until just about 2 o'clock. Then they have their labor-ready training through Phyllis Lauderman, which is certified through the Department of Labor for the union. That may be another 3 hours. So total, they may be anywhere from 10 to 12-hour days for these guys, getting them ready. But how it works is once they complete that, they get a pre-apprenticeship number. That's actually from the union. Then once they get out of prison, they actually go out on the work site, and they're supervised by HERCO, which is the construction company owned by Phyllis Lauderman, and they work under her supervision, and they're issued an actual union number, and that's where the trading places model came from, because they trade their prison number for a laborer, a union laborer's number.
What a difference that has to make. And I'm sure, you know, you as someone who's worked in corrections knows, coming out with a specific career path, what a difference that makes in helping that inmate make the transition to being a working citizen.
Absolutely, absolutely. We just had our second year open house here at the facility, and we actually had a couple of our gentlemen came back to speak that have been out working for large manufacturing companies, and they just kind of talked about their experiences, you know, over the last year, you know, after being out working, you know, how they're able to provide for their family and take care of themselves. And I mean, it was just a great experience for the other 190 gentlemen that are still here to actually hear someone that left here 8 months ago, 9 months ago, and actually was able to come back, you know, as an employee, as opposed to, you know, a prisoner.
Warden Burton, how long have you been in corrections?
I have been in corrections 29 years.
All right. When you started 29 years ago, was there anything like this?
No. We were not program focused. When I hired in, we were in the boom of just building prisons. If you'd have told me 29 years ago when I signed up that I would literally have employers coming here to my facility, I mean, we get large Fortune 500 companies. They have their HR departments come here and meet with the new hires that they've hired and fill out their 401k paperwork, their Blue Cross Blue Shield. If you'd have told me that 29 years ago, I never would have believed it.
So what made the difference? What led to this change in direction?
For me, it was our current director, Heidi Washington. When she took over the helm as a director of the Michigan Department of Corrections, one of the first articles that came out is she said she wanted to really improve vocational trades and to try to focus on getting these guys the skills so that when they get out, they wouldn't return back to prison. So when I saw that article, I personally called her. I already had a previous relationship with her when she was a warden before she became director. I actually was her deputy warden. I was her right hand for a number of years. So we had a connection already. And once I saw the article, I called her and told her, I said, hey, I have a 70,000 square foot school here, and we got a lot of empty classrooms here, and I think that we could actually do something here to make it work. And this was actually the first facility that she came to once she made director. And within a matter of days, I had the approval to start hiring all the instructors to put these programs here.
That has to be really satisfying for you personally watching this happen? I can hear it in your voice.
You know, I am. I was thinking out loud to myself when the day that we were having the open house, and I was thinking to myself, this is nuts. I'm probably the only warden sitting on the edge of the bed, can't wait to come to work today. But I literally, I get letters from these guys when they get out. I got a gentleman right now who is actually out on an assignment for 8 weeks in the state of Nevada wiring robots for an automotive company. I don't give the specific company names because they might not want everyone to know what they're doing right now. But I have a gentleman right now where we had to work to temporarily change his parole to the state of Nevada, and he's out in Nevada right now wiring robots at $31 an hour.
Boy. Now, do you take prisoners from inmates from other Michigan facilities? I mean, is there a waiting list for this program?
Yeah, we bring them in from all over the state. Basically, at the facilities that they're at, we have vocational counseling. And then at that point, they basically have to apply to come here. There's some basic questions they have to ask. Some part of it is written. You know, one of them is if you're able to get a trade, the question that sticks out is if you're able to obtain the trade of interest, explain to us how this would change your life. You know, how would this prevent you from coming back to prison, just to see if they really have it in their heart to come here.
And when you think of these guys going through this program, going through the training, getting out and getting jobs, what is your ultimate hope for each one of these guys?
My ultimate hope is that they are able to get out and never have to return to prison. I mean, before I'm a warden, I'm a taxpayer. And it costs us over $30,000 a year to keep these guys incarcerated. And so that's why we try to give them all the tools that they need so that when they leave, they don't have to come back. In addition to the job, I mean, there's other reentry services that we help them with. We help them with finding a place to stay. We have job coaches. We help them with health care. We help them with counseling. And the theory behind it is all those things that I've just named off, we help them with bus passes if they need bus passes to get back and forth to work. Everything that I just named is cheaper than $30,000.
So this pays off.
Exactly. So our goal is to try to get them out there and put them in a position where they can just stay out there and not come back.
Let's talk now with Carlos Gomez. He is one of the inmates at Ionia's Handlin Correction Facility in the Trading Places program. Thanks for being with us, Carlos.
Thank you.
Why did you decide to enter this program?
For years, I was, in and out of, facilities. I didn't have any, education beyond high school as far as a trade went. I could do a few things, as far as work for a tree service or, fix a lawnmower and stuff like that. But it was still, holding me back, And then I started having kids, and then I was, falling behind on bills and didn't have any skills to offer to an employer. And then I fell into, different crime things. I was just financial type crimes and was in and out of facilities. And now I have this opportunity here, and it's, to me, a great opportunity.
Now, what kind of training are you doing, and how far along are you in that training?
I'm in the plumbing. I was started January of this year, and I completed my plumbing course and became a tutor, actually. And now I'm doing the plumbing and also on my own doing the electrical, too.
So you're going to be double threat, plumbing and electrical.
Yes, ma'am.
And did you ever have interest in that work before getting a chance to do this training?
Yes, I did.
So this gave a chance to really direct it and really get in and learn it well.
Yes. I've been in and out of the facility since 94. And this is the best thing that I've ever seen. And 20 plus years of doing time. Unfortunately, I in and out of here. And like I said, this is an opportunity I, jumped at, when I heard about how it was, because before they've offered classes, mm-hmm. as building trades and, you know, you had horticulture and, you know, little things like that, you know, throughout the system, but you never, you know, you could go there and it was just a certificate. You know, as an inmate, you want to get all the certificates you can because that's your opportunity, well, to use them to get home. And that's what most of us would, thought about it. And when I heard about this and how intense it was and what they were doing, you know, when I got here and actually got in the class, it impressed a lot upon me. I mean, I was just happy to be here, actually, and I still am.
Well, you talked about kind of coming in and out of facilities over the years. What's going to make the difference for you this time once you're paroled?
Just the fact that I can offer my skill to somebody rather than run around for 7-8 months looking for a job and have to explain, you know, why I checked the felony box or why I didn't, where this long period of no work came from. Mm. You know, now I'll have that opportunity to say, hey, you know, here's my school transcripts, you know, from, you know, the NCCR that I got for my plumbing and all that. And here's, you know, the OSHA training that we get here, and here's the employment classes we get here. I mean, I've, you know, at the age of 42, I've gotten more here in the past 7 months that I ever could imagine, with employment classes, the skill classes, and everything else that's being offered.
Carlos, is there some timeline when you're expecting to be paroled and you can get out and start working?
My consideration date is January 3rd.
So you can keep working and getting ready for that.
Yes.
What do you and the other inmates, when you're together at night and you're kind of all talking about what the hopes are in this training and what this means, what do you talk about?
Well, a lot of us talk about just the fact that we can, you know, go home to a job rather than go home and try to, you know, look for one. I mean, it's really hard when you have, you know, felonies and, you know, for some of us, multiple felonies. You know, it's really hard, you know, and it is being out there and you talk to some employers, you understand where they're coming from. If they look at a guy and they're, okay, well, you have 4 years of not working because you're incarcerated with a felony, they're going to go to the guy that doesn't, you know. But we, most of us talk about now how we have an opportunity to go out and make $15, $20, you know, even $30 an hour when we never would have had that without this, in my opinion. I'm sure some people leave here and can have that opportunity maybe to get a job somewhere that didn't take this class, but some of us don't.
And you've got that pathway with an employer and with unions who get it, they understand, and they're ready to lead you on to the rest of your life.
Yes.
Well, Carlos, we want to wish you good luck, and you'll have to let us know what happens after January and what your new life will look like with all the training that you've done through Vocational Village and Trading Places.
I sure will, and thank you.
Thank you for talking with us.
You're welcome.
Support for the Next Idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.